Thank you, Miss Karen. It's always good to have that piano, isn't it? Sounds great. Sounds great. Other praises or testimonies tonight? Oh, Brother Ron, you should have hit the coffee, man. Don't fade on me now. You get to yawn, and I'll get to yawn, and we'll both be asleep before this is over. Oh, mercy. Any other praises or testimonies? Anything? No? Having a good day? Good, an all right day? Mr. Brent Brock, his visitation was this afternoon, and what, 5 to 7, Steph, was the visitation? And so Stephanie and Lily had an opportunity to go up there, and a lot of friends and family and neighbors and stuff coming up there. But I think my little, you know, it's always out of the mouths of babes, right? My little 12-year-old youngest daughter, she was commenting to her mother on the way out the door, "Mommy, was he saved? I hope he was saved." Yeah, we hope he was. I mean, there was conversation I said a couple years ago that gave indication that perhaps he was, and I'd use this. JW, yeah, she's Jehovah's Witness, so certainly needs the truth. And we don't know if there's a service, right? Did you find that out? Yeah. Okay. We'll be in prayer for the Brent Brock family. Anything else? Any others? Yes. She is. Oh, bless her heart. Yeah, amen. So she was what, 9? Yeah. Well, they're both strong-willed, so. So did Lily come to church, or is she hanging out with Brianna? Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, the funeral home. All right. Outstanding. Well, let's get back on the saddle here. Back on the bike, Judges chapter 17. I think I've read verses 1 through, I think we're pretty familiar with verses 1 through 5. We'll pick it up here tonight, beginning in verse 6, and reading through the end of chapter 17. Judges 17, beginning in verse 6 through the end, so 7 through 13. Judges chapter 17, 6 through 13. Joshua judges Ruth, Old Testament. We there? All right. How y'all doing with your 1 hour or less of sleep a night? Oh, no, you just only lost 1 hour one night. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all have to tell me how you do that, because I haven't figured that out yet. I know they told me, but I just don't compute. That hour's gone. I don't know where it went. I want it back. Judge. I'll get it back 6 months. That's okay. I'd like to just keep it one way instead of. Yeah, I'll take this way. Amen. All right. Judges chapter 17, beginning in verse 6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in what? His own eyes," right? Verse 7. "Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah of the family of Judah who was a Levite, and he was staying there." Where? In Judah. "Then the man departed from the city, from Bethlehem in Judah, to stay wherever he might find a place. And as he made his journey, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. Micah said to him, 'Where do you come from?' And he said to him, 'I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm going to stay wherever I may find a place.' Micah then said to him, 'Dwell with me, and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, a suit of clothes, and your maintenance.' So the Levite went in. The Levite agreed to live with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. And Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as priest." Let's pray one more time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, may you open our hearts and minds to it. May your Holy Spirit give us discernment and wisdom as we go through it, Lord. Equip us, help us, teach us, mold us, make us into the image of Christ. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, we kind of got cut short, or I went long, or something happened last week, and we didn't finish what we needed to finish. And so we were talking about some truth about postmodernism, and I think we rode that horse pretty far on down the road. And then we talked about keeping something back with the pieces of silver. So when he, verse 4, so when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces. What did we start out with? Didn't we start 1,100? Yeah, we started out with 1,100. She took 200 pieces and gave them to the silversmith who made them into a graven image. We talked about keeping something back. And then what I wanted to get to, and we didn't quite get there, was homemade religion. And that's really what this whole thing is about, homemade religion, right? Homemade religion. Verse 5, and the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household idols and consecrated one of his sons that he might become his priest. Homemade religion. Micah takes the idols, puts them in a shrine in his home. God had said that there was to be a central tabernacle, and then later, after the tabernacle, they build a temple. That is correct. Tabernacle to temple. But that's where the worship of Yahweh is supposed to go on, right? It's to be a central place. Jesus has not died on the cross yet. It's to be a central place. We can worship Jesus where? Wherever today, right? But back here in the Old Testament, God had his way. God had his will. God has his sovereignty. He had a plan. He had a purpose for it. And so there was to be a central tabernacle or temple set up around the glory cloud, God's presence, the majestic presence of God, Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. When the glory cloud moved, the tabernacle moved. That was the place where the sacrifices were made, wherever the tabernacle was, wherever the glory cloud was, wherever the holy place was, wherever the Holy of Holies place was, right? That's where worship was conducted, where the high priest's ephod, remember the ephod? I think we've talked about the ephod, maybe not. I think we've talked about it in the context of the book of Judges. That's the breastplate that the priest wore, right? Well, what was on the breastplate? You had the 12 stones, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And there were two of those stones, either an extra two somewhere on the ephod or two of the 12 stones called the Urim and the Thummim, right? Remember the Urim and the Thummim? These were two-sided stones. One meant lights, and the other stone meant perfections. And there were two sides to these stones. And so when they would come to God and seek him for an answer, they would take the two stones and they would toss them, right? And depending on how they showed their sides, two faces, they were faced, and two faces is yes, two tails is no. And one and one is not yet, or no answer. Cool your jets, have patience, right? So that went on. There were these two-sided stones, flipped, tossed, and that's how they got their answer to wait, or yes or no. God had not allowed the Israelites to worship anywhere they wanted. Not anywhere they wanted, but Micah sets up his own sanctuary for worship at his convenience. Now, let me just ask the question. Can we worship God? Now, this is, you're talking about subjective here. We talked about subjective last week with cats, right? Can we worship God? Can we worship God any way we want? No. Everybody in agreement with that? Why? Anyway, all right? Because everybody said. Yeah. Amen. 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 There you go. Okay. Worship him exclusively. Brother John, you were saying something? Right. So are we all on the same page by saying there are some certain basic standards when it comes to worshiping Almighty God? Yeah. Now, I guess interpreting those standards is where the subjectivity comes in. Because some churches, they're okay to wear shorts to worship. Some churches wear really short shorts. And on the other extreme, there you go, reverent worship. Yeah. But again, that's where the subjectivity comes in. Somebody had a hand up. Who had a hand? Okay, amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, right. That is a form of worship, prayer. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, and you said reverence? Yeah. Don't see a whole lot of anymore. Yeah. Do you think we're reverent as a church? Do you think we are? We need to be, right? Yeah. You think we're okay in the reverent department? Huh? Always room for improvement. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, outstanding. Very good. I like that. Not the man upstairs. That's right. That's right. So he's a big, big, great God. Amen? All right, let me get back on track here. God had not allowed the Israelites to worship anywhere they wanted, but Micah sets up his own sanctuary for worship at his convenience. So I guess we can apply that in saying we can worship God anytime, at any place, but there needs to be reverence in our hearts when we come, or respect, or as the Bible talks about, holy fear. Holy fear. So, yeah, right. This guy's got idols when he's worshiping. That's right. Israel's religion in this context, in this passage, Judges chapter 17 here, 18, 19, 20, 21, Israel's religion has become one of personal preference. And really, we can go all the way back to the beginning of the book of Judges and say that Israel's religion has become one of personal preference. Now, I'm not judging when I mention other churches, but you can see that we're living almost in the same time frame again. Well, what do you mean by that? Just get on the interweb and look up the different kinds of, you got a cowboy church. I think there's some good cowboy churches out there. I'm not knocking them. You got a biker church, right? There's even churches that are meeting in bars, having church in a bar, and they quote a reverent. I don't know if they're actually imbibing alcohol while they go through their worship. It's afterward, right? 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 So Israel's religion has become one of personal preference, right? We're Western Americans, right? I mean, we're Westerners. We're not Easterners. If we were Easterners, we would be Asian. We're Westerners. We're Europeans over here, right? American or American. Right? But what do we like? We like our McDonald's. Well, I don't like McDonald's. I like Chick-fil-A. Well, I don't like Chick-fil-A. I like going to get a Goodson's. Well, I don't like Goodson's. I like going to CC's. I don't like CC's. I like going to El Emperador. We like what we like, right? Some people go to Walmart. Some people don't like the way Walmart treats their employees, so they go to target. Some people don't like their stance on same-sex marriage and homosexuality, so they go somewhere else. We have these personal preferences built in our psyche. But where we mess up, I think, is we try to bring that in. We try to bring that into the church, personal preferences. It's hard leaving that at the door, isn't it? Amen? I mean, when it's so ingrained in us, every thing that pops up on our phone or our, you know, I check my email and I've got all these, boom, ads that pop up. I'm like, I just want to read my email. I don't want to shop this or that. I just want to read the email, right? I mean, we're bombarded with all this consumerism. I think we almost, if we don't want to end up like the people here in Judges, I think we almost have to take a conscious effort when we come into the house of the Lord. And when I say that, when you're here, you is the house of the Lord, right? The building's not the house of the Lord. You is the house of the Lord, right? The Holy Spirit is here when you's here. Right? When you leave, Holy Spirit has departed this place. Right? You know, it's just a building. It's a nice building. We should respect the building because it's where we worship Jesus at. Right? But I think we have to consciously, I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight. Quotes. I think we consciously have to think, I'm coming in here today in this moment in time, this next hour, this next 45 minutes, this is for God. This is for God. And I think a lot of times, because of what's happened during the week, what's happened perhaps in the ride in the car here, what's happened the night before, what's happened at work, what's happened with the spouse, what's happened with one of the kids. I think sometimes we come in and our focus is askew, right? Just something to think about, right? It's not a judgment. It's not a, you know, like Brother Paul said, room to improve, amen? Just be cognizant of it because we don't want to be like Micah. We don't want to be like this time period in the Judges, right? Further, Micah makes his own son into a priest. Again, this contradicts the Mosaic revelation that only those of the tribe of Levi were to be priests. Micah and his mother, however, want to lift one of their own blood into the priesthood. After all, a shrine needs a priest. Now, reading this and studying this over the last several weeks, I kind of feel sorry for the son because they're going to come across the Levite and kick the boy to the curb, right? Hey, we just found priest 2.0. You've been demoted. You're going back to just son. You're no longer priest, right? I kind of feel sorry for the son, but that's what happens in Judges chapter 17, 7 through 12. But as we look at this, obedience to God's commands and how to approach and worship Him had become an optional extra, not a central principle. Okay? So when we think about, our own hearts and our own worship, obedience to God's commands when we worship. Somebody want to look up that passage about speaking to one another and psalms and hymns and spiritual. Y'all know where that verse is at? That's a good one to think about. Well, look it up, brother, and if that's it, read it to us. All right? And then that passage about reverence, that's a good one to think about. Fundamentally, the faith of God's people is a revealed faith. Fundamentally, the faith of God's people is a revealed faith. God reveals Himself in His Word. We do not discover Him through our reason or experience, do we? I mean, you can get a sense of God in nature, right? But you can't get a sense that you're a sinner in nature until you read about a holy God, okay? Then you find out you're a sinner. Then you can make peace with your Creator. Then you find out who Jesus is. Then you can be saved. Amen? All right. Anybody have that Ephesians passage? Was that it, brother? Amen. That's a good way to worship. Amen? Right? Good way to worship. All right. In short, God says, this is what God says, in short. This is a short answer. This is what God says. Now, he says more than this, because, I mean, look, this is what we got. But in short, God says, worship me as I am. Worship me as I am, not as you want me to be, not as you want me to be, and worship me as my heart desires, not as your heart suggests. Right? See the difference? As his heart desires, not as our heart suggests. His heart desires, not as our heart suggests. Make sense? Amen? God says, worship me as I am, not as you want me to be, but and worship me as my heart directs, not as your heart suggests. Micah's family shapes a God who is convenient to worship. They follow the laws they like and ignore the laws they do not like. Right? So, we don't ever want to be that church. We don't ever want to be that people. Amen? We want to take all of God's truth. That's part of the attention deficit disorder approach to preaching the Word of God. Well, we need to hear from the Old Testament. Well, we need to hear from the New Testament. Well, we need to hear from the law. Well, we need to hear from prophecy. Well, we need to hear from the epistles. Well, we need to hear from the Gospels. Well, we need it all. Amen? We don't just need a little. We need it all. All right. This is what God's shaping looks like for a society, what we've been talking about, Micah and his mother and their son, and then getting the Levite and having the two idols in the house and having a shrine. This is what God's shaping looks like for a society, to do whatever they see fit. Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now God's shaping does not have to mean a conscious rejection of God. You're not doing that when you God's shape. Nor does God's shaping require no longer calling on God or ceasing religious activity. These folks here in Micah's home, his mother, his son, and then the Levite that they bring in, they're very religious. Would you agree? Very religious. In fact, religious activity is spreading in chapter 17. You've got a shrine in your own house. You look very committed. This guy's got his own shrine. But this is religion on Israel's terms, according to each person's personal preference. It is a religion that is not about God and His truth and will, but about me and my ideas and preferences. It is a religion which seeks to control and tame God, to remake Him in an image we are comfortable with. This God-shaping religion is an exciting religion, but it is not a religion which will bring blessing or rescue. Yes, sir? No. Yeah. Right. Amen. I think another thing. I'm just trying to help you tonight. Don't take this as belittling or speaking down to you or anything like that. But another thing, when we come in, and I think we do this. I think we do this when we're one on one with God, like in our prayer closet or our quiet time. I think, like what Brother John was talking about, we really connect with the Lord. Amen? We got an issue. Don't have to come up here. We can meet with God right there in a truck or right there in a bedroom or, right after brushing our teeth or before we have our coffee. I mean, we can meet with God, and we know it's us and God, right? But sometimes we get caught up, perhaps not in churches like this, but sometimes we get caught up talking about God and not really talking to God. Yeah. That's where the focus comes in. Focus comes in. Now, I don't want to scratch scabs off of old wounds or tear up scar tissue here. But there was a time in the congregation, about when I got here, that there was so much unfocus in the place because it was about me getting over here to talk to that person and then going back there to talk to that person and then going back there to talk to that person and then going back there to talk to that person and then coming over here and talking to this person and then talking to that person. And so it was like a conveyor belt of humanity trying to get caught up with everybody's business, right? How you doing? I'm doing great. Hugging it out. Nothing wrong with the hugging and the kissing, the slobbering and the drooling. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But a little of that goes a long way. Amen? We're here for that cross, that cross, what that cross represents. That's what we're here for. Now, save all that energy of going around, save all that for the fellowships. Amen? That's when you bust the melons and eat the ice cream and overindulge and cut up. Yeah, no slobbering. Unless you're at my table, amen? And then I slobber. But anyway, right? Let's move it on down the road. Here we go. I got a little bit of time left. Were they religious? Yes. Were they missing the mark? Yes. We don't want to be like them? No. I want us to fast forward and jump all the way down to verse 13. And I think this is my last point I want to try to make this evening. This is the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel before the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Look at verse 13. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as priest." Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm not in Shiloh where the tabernacle is. But I've got a Levite, and I've got two idols. I've made my own shrine. I've got a Levite, so I'm halfway right. I got a Levite, but my location is way off, and my heart attitude is forever off. Amen. Forever off. Let's go through this because. I can talk about this priest because I'm not one. I'm a minister, but let's talk about him, but let's be kind as we do. Observations about our priest. Number one, he's young and restless. Look at verses 7 and 8. Now, there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he was staying there. Then the man departed from the city from Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he might find a place. And as he made his journey, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. Now, this is what I want you to understand. He's a Levite. There's one place he's supposed to be, where the tabernacle is. He's a Levite. He's a man of age. What are you supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to go pull my time, where the tabernacle is. And then when I get done, wherever they want me to go, that's where I'm supposed to go. I don't go where I want to go. I'm a Levite. I'm of the house of Levi, the tribe of Levi. I have been brought into this world via the sovereignty of God to lead God's people in the worship of Yahweh. I don't get to go to Europe and try to find myself. I don't get to go over here and try to discover new things. I've been called, directed, but that's not what he's doing, is he? No, he's not doing that at all. As a Levite, he should have been serving the people as a priest where the tabernacle was. Third observation, he agrees to sin, with his new host, Micah, but notice, he has his price. He's going to sin for a price, verses 10 through 12. Micah then said to him, dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, 10 pieces of silver a year, a suit. This guy, he didn't know who he was dealing with. This guy's got a lot of pieces of silver, right? I mean, he probably could have held out for more. 10 pieces of silver a year, a suit of clothes, and your maintenance, so the Levite went in. The Levite agreed to live with a man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. We see the goal of Micah and his mother. That's verse 13. We've already read that, but that's their goal. Micah's shrine now outwardly conforms more closely to the basic rules of divine worship set out in the Mosaic law. He's got a priest. He's got a Levite priest, while all the time he rejects the central principle of the law that worship must be conducted according to God's word, not human ideas. So the purpose of his religious efforts is to get access to God so that he can get God to do what he wants. So he can get God to do what he wants. Health, wealth, prosperity movement. So he can get God to do what he wants. Health, wealth, prosperity movement. So he can get God to do what he wants. Isn't that? I mean, that's what that is, health, wealth, prosperity. Am I close? Am I close to it? Okay. All right. What is the goal of true faith? Let's ask and answer that before we get into our prayer time. What is the goal of true faith? The goal of true faith is to give God access to your heart. Would you agree with that? To give God access to your heart so that he can get you to do what he wants. Amen. Do you see the complete dichotomy, the difference of those two ideas? Amen. Now, both are religious. Both can be pitched and sound very, very good, right? But one lines up with the Word of God, and one lines up with the will of man, right? Make sense? Okay. Religion's true purpose is to get God to serve you. But gospel faith, remember we talked last week, we said it all comes back to the gospel. Gospel faith's purpose is to get your heart to serve him. But why would we ever really want to let God rule our hearts so that we serve him? Why would we ever really want to let God rule our hearts so that we serve him? Think that question in, and then let that question sink in. Amen? Why would we ever really want to let God rule our hearts so that we serve him? The short answer is the gospel, right? That's the short answer. One word, gospel, all right? The good news of Jesus Christ. The long answer is when we have gospel faith, we know the real God. Think about that. You know, through what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross, and the person of the Holy Spirit that abides in you, you have a real personal connection with the Creator God, and you know Him. You know Him. And if you don't, you should. If you don't know God, you should. Amen? You should know Him. The real God. When we have gospel faith, we know the real God who out of his great power and love sent his own son to die in our place, which we're going to celebrate that Sunday morning, the Lord's Supper, right? Holy Eucharist, communion, whatever you want to call it. Whew. sent his own son to die in our place and give us his righteousness and sent his spirit into our hearts to change us into the people we were designed to be. And when we become the people, when we become the people we were designed to be, when we allow, when we make the decisions, the conscious decisions over and over again to become the people we were designed to be, the blessing that you get is not the blessing you were looking for. The blessing you get is God's blessing, which is always better than what you were looking for. Always better. And is eternal and is fulfilling and is purposeful in all of those things. Well, we never will let God rule our hearts so that we serve Him if we reduce Him to man-made, to a man-made image or to a projection of ourselves in our minds or to whatever who agrees with what we've already thought. We would never be moved to serve a small God like that. The tragedy of man-made religion is that it always reduces God to someone to be controlled rather than seeing God as the one who is in control and is worthy of real, whole life worship. And reducing God leaves us worshiping a God who cannot help or save or bless. And when we get into chapter 18, Micah's going to discover that. He's going to discover that what he's created can't help him, can't save him, can't rescue him, nothing. No. And he's going to lose it all. He's going to lose it all. Chapter 18. But we leave that for next week. Amen? All right. Huh? Yes, sir, brother. He doesn't have any. None. He's got zero, man. He's got zero. There's a. I've got a friend. I've got a friend in the ministry, and he's telling me about this church, and he's telling me that, oh, pastor, he goes, man, they're about to start letting their female children's minister start to baptize. Baptismal candidates. I go, really? On what authority? Zero. Now, you're a local autonomous church. You can vote and discuss to worship a purple polka-dotted dodo bird. Local autonomous church. But that don't make it authoritative, right? Does not make it authoritative one iota, one bit, right? And so the dilemma this friend of mine is, you know, what to do? What to do? Do you? I mean, because what's next? Female staff baptized and baptismal candidates. Female deacons be next. And then... ordaining women... pastors. That's what's next. I mean, so. And it sounds good. It sounds good because it sounds good, man. I would agree with that. That ain't Baptist. That ain't Bible. Amen? All right. Any other questions? Okay, well, let's pray, shall we? What's the prayers tonight?